Hare Krishna. Okay, so it's from speaking from the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, text 24 to 29. I'll just read the translation from 24 to the end. So 24. May Hrishikesh protect your senses, and Narayan your life air. May the master of Shvetadvip protect the core of your heart, and may Lord Yogeshvara protect your mind. 25 and 26. May Lord Prishnigarb protect your intelligence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you, and while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking, and may Lord Narayan, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnabhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. 27, 28, and 29. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatudanis, and Kushmandas are the greatest enemies of children, and the evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jeshta, Putana, and Matrika, are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life air, and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 33, Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam ajam purana purusham naviyovanam cha vedashudurlabam madurlabam atmabhaktau govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the original person, non-dual, infallible, and without beginning. Although he expands into unlimited forms, he is still the original, and though he is the oldest person, he always appears as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, and all-knowing forms of the Lord cannot be understood by the academic wisdom of the Vedas, but they're always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. While decorating the body with tilak, we give protection to the body by chanting 12 names of Vishnu. Although Govinda, or Lord Vishnu, is one, he has different names and forms with which to act differently. But if one cannot remember all the names at one time, one may simply chant, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, and always think of Lord Vishnu. Vishnur Haradanam Param. This is the highest form of worship. If one remembers Vishnu always, even though one is disturbed by many bad elements, one can be protected without a doubt. The Ayurveda Shastra recommends, Aushadi Chintayat Vishnum. Even while taking medicine, one should remember Vishnu, because the medicine is not all in all, and Lord Vishnu is the real protector. The material world is full of danger, padam padam yad vipadam. Therefore, one must become a Vaishnav and think of Vishnu constantly. This is made easier by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Kirtaniya Sadahari Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam and Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat. So this part of the Bhagavatam, we had some wonderful classes recently talking about the pastime and the end of the great witch, Putana. And now what's happened is that Putana has been dealt with by Krishna. And she's finished. She's lying dead. Now the first thing that happens is that all the elderly gopis, including Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they run to Krishna with all the other gopis, and they start performing all these rituals of protection. So these rituals of protection, the chanting of mantras, invoking the names of the Lord. After all, who else could protect the Supreme Lord? but the Supreme Lord himself. So all these mantras are being chanted, these mantras from the ancient pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And this really gives, one thing I was meditating on is this really gives such a big insight into the whole culture of the people at that time, of the cowherd people living in Vraj at that time. The two main activities, the keeping of cows and the worshipping of the Supreme Lord in his deity form and worshipping him through his names, pastimes, and different mantras. These are the two very auspicious activities that the people were undertaking on the land. So we can just begin to like imagine the opulence of that time. Very different to now, because Srila Prabhupada said now if you're in India and you see the Indian farmer with his torn old cloth and cloth round the head, that's not how it was in those times, completely opposite. In those times it's great opulence because the cow protection afforded the greatest wealth. They were supremely wealthy. They had so much. Anything that they needed, they could get by trading the goods that came from protecting the cows. And because they were attracting such auspiciousness, everything was flowing very freely. And now, of course, Sri Krishna himself has come together with his spiritual entourage, so they've appeared as well in Vraj. So incredible opulence. Just a whole festival of sound, of festival of smells, very ornately decorated clothing, all the celebrations of the rites of passage of the children, of the younger people, of the elder ones. All that great culture must have been there. And sometimes we can begin to imagine that, what it must have been. All that musical instruments, like everything is, all the arts of music and decoration and opulence of making amazing foodstuffs, all of that must have been there. It's a great festival. And you can see that, like all the, in other parts of the world where there were, like where there has been cow protection and cow herding, there's been great opulence. Even in Scotland, believe it or not, it was very opulent for thousands and thousands of years because cattle was the main economy. They had herds of black cattle, and that was the whole culture. They were very rich, actually, until it was all destroyed. But that's Kali Yuga. So that's it. So the wealth of the Vaishya people, so this Krishi Goraksha Vanijam, Vaishya Karmas Vabhavajam, so the activities of the Vaishya people are this farming, cow protection and business. And so that afforded them everything that they could possibly need. And because Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were both from the Vaishya community. So when Krishna appeared, naturally he took charge of all these Vaishya activities together with his brother. So Balaram always representing agriculture by holding the plough, the scratch plough, and Krishna tending the cows and carrying the flute to call the cows. So the two, Krishna and Balaram, are this Krishi Raksha and Goraksha. So this is the wonderful activities. But they knew how to do it perfectly well because of the Supreme Personality. So I can talk about that a bit later. But one thing is, you know, Balaram, he had this scratch plough, not a plough that digs really deep and churns up everything underneath the land and destroys all the fabric of the earth, but the scratch plough just to scratch the surface. And then with cow products again, you can compost the land and grow very nicely. Of course, Balaram could dig his plough in deeply when he had to, but that's his own pastimes. So it's interesting when Nanda Maharaj goes to Mathura to pay the taxes to Kamsa. So there he meets with Vasudev. And of course, they're stepbrothers, because Vasudev's father, he had married also a Vaishya woman. And so they were like stepbrothers. But Vasudev's from the Kshatriya class. So Vasudev, when he meets Nanda Maharaj, as a Kshatriya, he's very concerned about overseeing for the welfare of the Vaishya people, of the cowherd people. And he's asking, so how are the cows? How are the children? How are all the families? Any new children being born? Any old ones left the world? That kind of thing. Just the whole celebration of the culture. And then but at the end of their meeting, Vasudev gives a warning to Nanda Maharaj to be careful, because there are some bad things happening in Vrindavan, so he should be careful. So as Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherders return in their bullock carts to Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj is contemplating what Vasudev has told him, to be careful, that there's some things are going wrong. So you can see in this, because Vasudev is the Kshatriya, so Nanda Maharaj has total respect for everything that he's saying. He's taking it very seriously and he's contemplating. And of course, when they return, as we find out, when they return to Vraj, they find the huge body of Putana already lying in the land. And then they realize, yeah, Vasudev, he's certainly such a great rishi, because he foresaw all this happening. So I just think that's a little insight into trying to get into that, to see what a wonderful culture that was. So then we can see that these prayers of protection, these mantras that all the gopis are chanting, so they're talking about, they're getting protection for different parts of the body and the senses and the mind, by invoking the names of the Supreme Lord. And these are also names of the Lord who appeared at times millions of years before this as well. So again, in the culture, they must have constantly been talking about the past times, telling stories to all the children about, the past times of the Supreme Lord. So deeply embedded in their culture. And they have such a strong faith, such a strong belief in it. There's no question at all. Whereas we might question with our conditioned minds whether the Supreme Lord is actually so present in our lives, in our existence. So then it's mentioned that, so we put on the tilak every day. Srila Prabhupada talks about for protection for the body by chanting the 12 names of Vishnu. So for us, this is what we need. And Srila Prabhupada obviously knew this and recognized that we could get, by the whole morning program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, includes all these aspects from that ancient culture. So even though we don't, especially from the Western world, we don't initially know this to any great depth, but we're doing it as a practice. This is we take it on as sadhana, we just do it, putting tilak and chanting the mantras for each of the points of the body where we put the tilak. So this is the same thing, but in a different scale. It's the same thing, but in a modern version of the same thing. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy is to give us this culture, whether we understand it at first or not. Eventually we will understand it by further chanting of the mantra, of the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is a great high form of worship. And then also is mentioned all these, the evil in the world, the evil forces, the evil witches, and the different evil spirits. It mentions all these ones like yakshas, rakshasas. So we know that in the beginning of creation, from the body of Lord Brahma came certain beings from the mode of ignorance, like the yakshas and rakshasas. So in Lord Brahma's Visarga creation, the secondary creation, through him, many of these beings came into the world. So the yakshas, when they emerged from Brahma, they immediately wanted to eat him. That's a real mode of ignorance. And the rakshasas, they didn't want to give Lord Brahma any protection at all. So that's the yakshas and rakshasas. And Srila Prabhupada says in one place that these yakshas and rakshasas, they're represented even until today in the uncivilized men who are scattered throughout the universe, all born in the mode of ignorance. And he said, at the present moment in Kali Yuga, rakshasa fathers and mothers are killing the children in the womb and even eating the fetuses. Thus, the so-called civilization is gradually advancing by producing rakshasas. So we can begin to understand that that rakshasa, as well as being like certain beings, that they have a strong influence because they're so powerful that they can enter into our consciousness and make us act like complete demons. You know, like wholesale abortion and all worse is going on in the world amongst the conditioned souls. And we could see that they're really becoming rakshasas, like in Bhagavad Gita, for one who worships the demigods, one will go to the planet of the demigods, who worships the ancestors, can go to the place of the ancestors. If we worship the demons, like the rakshasas, we'll become rakshasas. But if we worship Krishna himself, then we'll go to the supreme abode. So that's the mercy for the devotees and the lost opportunity for those who will become further into demonic species. So it's all very real, and many people these days will just say, well, it's all just superstition, it's all some ancient mythology, it's not very real. But from this, because it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the pure Purana, this is everything in here is real. So we should know that these beings are real, and that the gopis are in really trying to get all protection to protect their Krishna against all of these beings. It mentions also Dakinis. I was investigating all these names, trying to find out more. The Dakinis, they're like female goddesses who eat human flesh, but they also brought the tantric practices into the world, all the sex magic and things like this. Then individual evil spirits like Putana and Jeshta. Jeshta was, she appeared during the churning of the ocean. She's like diagrammatically opposite to Lakshmi. So Lakshmi, she married Vishnu, but this Jeshta, she married this sage called Dusaha. And it said that he soon discovered that his very ugly wife, she couldn't bear the sound or the sight of anything auspicious. So he complained to Lord Vishnu, and he was advised to take her only to inauspicious places or away from all religious people, to go to places where family members quarrel and where elders eat food while disregarding the hunger of the children, those kind of places. She likes the company of false mendicants and Buddhists who are considered to be heretics because they don't accept the Supreme Lord. So all these personalities, they're very much out there. But Lord Brahma himself, in one place he says, however powerful they are, they're only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Supreme Lord. And so we can get from all this that if we follow the example of the gopis in protecting these auspicious mantras, these protective prayers, then we too can be protected from the greatest danger. Of course, we experience that when we come into Krishna consciousness, we start chanting Hare Krishna and following the practices, devotion, we realize that a lot of these things that used to bother us, these heavy weights on us, they suddenly disappear. And we can assume to some extent that that's something that's actually happening, that we've all been like burdened by these like heavy entities at some point or other, especially in childhood, as is mentioned. In childhood, we're very open, very vulnerable. Our aura is completely open to anything. So these these spirits, they take advantage of it and they try to move in some way or other. But when we start chanting Hare Krishna, they slowly, they disappear, they have to leave. As Srila Prabhupada says, they have to leave. They can't stay in such a place. I found also in another part of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find these protective prayers, but in the form of actually a whole armor. And that's in the case of the Vishnu armor that protected Lord Indra. So when he committed the offense to his spiritual master, then the whole heavenly planets became open and the demon army swept in under Bali Maharaj and took over everything. So the demigods, they were forced to flee and hide in a place. But then Lord Indra, he was very remorseful, and he went to Vishvarup, who's the priest of the demigods, and he asked him, how can we fight against these demons? How can we find that strength? And so Vishvarup gave him this Narayan Kavach, who's like an army of prayers to the Supreme Lord. So I brought it with me. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite lengthy, but I just want to read one or two of them just to reiterate what's going on here. So these prayers are, again, to ask different aspects of the Supreme Lord for protection. So this Narayan Kavach prayer, this is part of it. So it's, O club in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you're extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vinayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. O best of conch shells, O Panchajanya, in the hands of the Lord, you're always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies like the Rakshasas, Pramata ghosts, Pretas, Matas, Pishachas, and Brahmana ghosts with fearful eyes. O king of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornan Rai, Shri 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 Prabhupada Ki Jai. O king of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. O shield marked with 100 brilliant moon-like circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. And may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So very powerful is the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're very fortunate to be chanting his holy names and to be reading all these pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So behind it all, of course, there are two main principles. And that's always to remember Krishna and never forget him anytime. And so those two principles are always the servants of all the rules and prohibitions that are mentioned in all the shastras. So beyond anything else, the important thing is to always remember Krishna and his pastimes and his holy names and never forget them. Because by forgetting them, we could put ourselves in a slightly dangerous position. So that holds even no matter what time, place, or circumstance, that these prayers are very potent, even in Kali Yuga. So even for people in Kali Yuga, it works in the same way. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's brought this holy name into the world, and he's given us all the protection. So the people of Kali Yuga, Prenalpya Shusabhya Kalasmin Yuge Jana Manda Sumanda Bhagya Manda Sumanda Matyo Manda Bhagya Hyupadrutaha. So the people of Kali Yuga, they tend to always have short lives. They're also quarrelsome, envious, misguided, unlucky, but always disturbed. Always disturbed and always bewildered. So even in that case, you know, there's a way out. And all the problems, the adhyatmika, the adibhautika and adidevika, the problems of the mind and the body, the problems given by other living entities, the problems given by natural forces, is there any way that we can actually have some kind of prosperous culture in the world, considering all of that? Just how degraded this is. Comparing that culture of these cowherders in Vrindavan to now, where it's just dead, it's just like a dead shadow of that on the planet now. It's so degraded, everything. So is there any hope, really? But there is. So even though, you know, how can we know Krishna? Because Srila Prabhupada, he's given this shloka from Brahma Samhita. And at first I was wondering, trying to understand why he gave that shloka, why he recited that. But then I began to really understand that it's, Krishna is very hard to access, to find. So out of many thousands of men, one will endeavor for perfection, but out of all of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So even though the storehouse of the holy name has been broken open by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so bhakti is available so easily, still many who will take bhakti, they won't act on it enough, or they'll lose it, they'll drop it. That's how bad it is for the conditioned soul. But then there's hope, because Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Maya Bhavid Graya Mindrai Seven Mukhi Jiva Do Svayameva Sparachyada. So actually no one can understand Krishna as he is with the blunt material senses. But Krishna is very merciful and he reveals himself to one who offers devotional service to him. So this is a great benediction, that when we approach Krishna in a loving mood, offering service, then he'll approach us and he'll come to us and begin to show us the way. So even though, you know, this path of devotion, of course it's very difficult as well. The purification can be very difficult to deal with. Many devotees will leave because of that and just seek an easier existence. And then, you know, we're not sure of our position, particularly in the Western world. Like, we've come into this, but are we still conditioned? We're not quite sure exactly where we are. And we don't necessarily understand all the tattvas, all the truths of the philosophy. So we just need to keep endeavoring. And maybe one interesting thing is, like, we tend to think, like, spiritual activities are just things like chanting and reading. But actually, and things like, perhaps, you know, like farming, cow protection, they're not so spiritual, they're more material things. So I'm just trying to compare, like, is it possible for us to have such a culture, even in Kali Yuga on this planet? But actually, yeah, in the Abrahamic religions, the difference between spiritual and material is huge. Either it's spiritual or it's material. There's the huge desert in between, so you're either there or you're there or nothing. But in the philosophy of the Chaitanyaite philosophy, it's more about affinity. It's more about attraction. So in that way, if your affinity towards chanting is wrong, then chanting becomes a material pursuit. But if your affinity towards, like, say, farming and cow protection is there, then that becomes spiritual. So it's not about going from one world to another. It's about a change of consciousness. So with a change of consciousness, these activities become completely spiritual. And also we have you know, the Mayavad philosophy is so prevalent in the world as well, both in India, of course, but also in the Western world in the guise of New Age philosophy, the Mayavad philosophy that only the absolute truth is real and the cosmic manifestation is all illusion. But Madhvacharya, he told us, no, it's actually both are real. Both are real. So with everything, with that kind of spiritual vision, we can see that everything is Krishna's energy. I'm going to read a little bit from this. I don't know if you wouldn't call it advertising when you're doing a Srimad Bhagavatam class, but anyway, it's very interesting. By one devotee in Vrindavan, he's written some about this subject. And he gave a quotation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada from a shloka in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam, which says, by respecting both earthly and transcendental energies of Krishna, one's devotion to Krishna becomes fixed. And in his purport to that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, rather than considering the earthly energies of Krishna as mundane, one should consider them transcendental and pray to them for devotional service to Krishna. So from that we can understand that, yeah, the material energy, we can use it. We shouldn't think that we have to hide in the temples and just chant and read all the time. Actually, the whole material manifestation can be used in the service of the Lord because it is the external energy of the Lord and is therefore also transcendental and worthy of worship. So yeah, the material world, it is a very dangerous place. We have to be very careful. Just last night, I was down by the Goshala, and there were a flock of geese, the ever-increasing flock of geese from the Bhaktivedanta Manor, were flying past. And suddenly there's this huge popping sound and then a crash in the ground, and I looked around and I thought, what's that? So I went to look, and one of the geese was lying dead on the ground. So what had happened was, because the power cables are there, it had flown into the power line and just bang, electric shock, and fallen to the ground. So this is material nature. And I was thinking, it's because that goose, it's like the Lord has given it this wonderful ability to fly for thousands and thousands of miles in one without stopping, migrating from one land to another. I think they go from here to like South Africa or Mauritius somewhere. It's just incredible. But then all of a sudden it flies into a power line and loses its body. So it's a very dangerous place. It can happen at any time. But with respect for that, we should still know it's all Krishna's energy and begin to understand the bigger picture, that it is all Krishna. Of course, death itself, death is Krishna coming as well. So, and we need to go out and preach, because this is a preaching mission, not that we need to keep it to ourselves. So just as in that ancient, is it Padma Purana, just as the sun's rays, just as the ordinary person sees the sun rays in the sky, so the wise and learned devotee always sees the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. And because those highly praiseworthy and spiritually awake brahmanas can see that abode, they can also reveal it to others. So it is our duty also to try to reveal or to give this, pass the mercy on to others. So this is the movement we're involved in. Running out of time, but there's one thing I'd really like to get to. So basically, God is there to help those who help themselves, but he particularly cares for those who help others. So this is also another principle. And then just say that, so Srila Prabhupada, obviously he appeared very timely in the world, the way that the world was moving at that time. He appeared just at such a good opportunity, because he's the pure devotee, he knew when to come in. So he achieved his major to initiate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And another aspect of timeliness might be that he foresaw like a whole collapse of this present civilization. And again, in here, there's some that Srila Prabhupada actually said in a morning walk in 1975. He said, civilization will collapse very soon all over the world. He actually said that. So I was thinking that actually Srila Prabhupada's timely appearance is also because he had that time to not only bring in Mahaprabhu's mission into the universe, but also into the planet. But also he had to do it soon because he could foresee that all this is about to collapse. And we can see many signs of that. Like it said that the global oil production peaked in 2005. Do the governments have any plans to replace that with some other energy source? Well, nobody knows. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe they know and we don't know yet. But basically the whole planet is running on oil-based systems, agriculture, transportation, everything is oil-based. And also the global finance system, obviously it's very vulnerable. It's sure to collapse at any time. It's just completely artificial. So the idea is to make a timely green transition into sustainable life on the planet. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking about this more and more. Yeah, the initial impulse was to get out the book distribution. But then he was talking so much about Varnashram and farm projects. And of course, many devotees have tried. It's been very difficult. But perhaps there's something here is that that even if we did get devotee farms really working and sustainable, if there is a global collapse, the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be rioting and looting. People, when the food in the supermarket shelves run out, everybody's going to start going around trying to find food from anywhere in desperation. It'll be a bad time. And so they'll come somewhere like Bhaktivedanta Manor. Of course, they're going to come here. So we'll break into the food stores, kill the cows, eat the cows. What could we do about it? We could put up a fight, but we'd be overpowered for sure. So the idea of having small communities dotted around the planet who are sustainable living, that's not the answer, because they will just be looted by everyone who's like desperate for food. The answer is more to bring into the world this idea of transitioning into like sustainable living. So not just devotees, but everybody else. There are so many people involved in this now on the planet. So if we do this as a movement and learn to kind of work together a little bit, then it can actually happen. So here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have our cows, the Goshala. Many people come to see actually a little insight into what cow protection is, that they're allowed to live out their full lives, to live out their karma. You can see there's some farming going on. Many of the temples around the world in India, the same thing, cow protection and farming. But they are very vulnerable. Even in India, if there was an economic collapse, then sure, these farming communities would also be rampaged and looted. So the idea is like to work with others in the world to bring this transition, not to try and keep it within the devotee community. So it's certainly an idea, and we can be inspired by these pastimes in Bhagavatam that talk about this, you know, magnificent culture where everybody is very much included and respected and all the rest, compared to this Kali Yuga culture we have now, which is so impersonal, so disempowering, so difficult to navigate through. Actually, Mahaprabhu's golden age can be just that, like a temporary turn into a Satya Yuga, and we owe that to our to those generations who are still to come, to at least try and do that. So with the inspiration of the cowherd people of Raj, we can aspire to at least move in that direction, that actually many things are possible if we try to cooperate with others and try and spread the message. And the devotees can do it more than the karmic people can, because we have the philosophy, we understand the depth of it. For many people out there, the New Age communities, they don't necessarily understand why they're doing it or what the depth behind it is, but we do. So maybe maybe we can open up. Maybe someone has a question or a comment.